This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I stopped to head home. And I'm waiting there, and the bus just sails past me and doesn't pick me up. Thanks. It was awesome. I went, oh well, I got 40 minutes to wait for the next one. So I'll walk into Montbold. God, what do you want me to speak on this week? I heard one sentence and one sentence only. And it was a question. What's your security in? Okay. We'll take that. And so that's what I'm going to be sharing on. Let's pray. God, we don't need another nice group of words that we walk out of this place and go, oh, that was a good service. We need you. We need a fresh encounter. We need a fresh revelation of what it means and what you went through for us. What you went forward through and what you are doing in our hearts and you're inviting us into, Father. We need you this morning. Give us a fresh revelation of the Father's love and our security in you. And that you are standing there. You do have a ring. You are wanting to place it on us because you are wanting and desiring your bride. Every single one of us that make up your bride. You want it to be holy and righteous and radiant. You want us to be that, God. Oh God, I know I can't do that without the intervention of your Spirit. I can't do it without fresh revelation of who you are. So Holy Spirit, this morning as I speak, can you please remove Jason and speak through me. For we only want you this morning. Father, I thank you for the revelation that you've given to my son. May each of us have a fresh revelation of it this morning. And I pray, Father, for Andrew and the team as they lead these hungry followers of you to fresh encounter and with a passion and a sold out lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may it start a wildfire in this country of seeing your glory manifest on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Is it going to work for me? Thanks, Dave. I might need you to... I don't know why it's not doing its thing. Ah, tithes and offerings. Thanks. Yeah. Can we just pass them around as we get going, please? As we get this little device working. Ah, there we go. It's now working. Thank you. Awesome. Father, we thank you for the provision of finances for this house. Continue to bless us as a community. But Father, may we be found to be good stewards of everything that comes into this place for your glory, in Jesus' name. Thanks, everyone. Someone said to me a while back, you're not a professional pastor, and it's true. I think I'd probably have run a broke church if it wasn't for people like Joseph reminding us to take up tithes and offerings and those things. I've always... So I appreciate it. And God, can you just reveal anything in me that you just want to touch this morning? Because ultimately, I can say words from the front, we can do all these things. We can go through the motions of our Christian journey. Ultimately, I'm responsible for what comes out of my mouth and the way I speak and the way I do things from here. But the response we have to our loving God is actually up to us. We need each other, but we need every single one of us to be on fire, completely surrendered to God. And then his purpose is marry us up together. That's why he places us in community, so that the uniqueness and the differences between every single one of us come together for the glory of his kingdom. So take a moment. What is your security in today? And ask God just to touch your heart in a fresh way. Question was posed, where is your security? What's it in? All these thoughts started going through my mind around different things that we place our security in. Our bank balance. If I've got money in the bank, I'm okay. If I don't, I'm not. If I own things, I'm okay. If I don't, I'm not. We see it all around us. Money is one of the greatest things that provides security and insecurity all around our world. You see it, if I don't watch the news much, I've got to say. I don't fill my mind with those things. But you watch it and the headlines will be, stock market crashes, the world is doomed. And the next day it might be, Dow Jones is up by 5 points, we might be okay. Depression is coming, housing crashes, whatever it is. What's our security in? We've been in a country where there has been floods and fires and things. My security is in my stuff, my house, things that I own. They can be taken like that. Our country is full of stories where homes have been destroyed, where lives have been overtaken because of things that have been wiped out, and people's lives have been eternally changed, or certainly in the natural, completely fallen apart because their security in their homes, in their possessions, in their boat, their jet ski, whatever it might be, is gone. It literally can disappear like that. In our health, in our well-being. The reality is, and as some of you are walking through this, health can be gone like that. Health can be one day okay, the next day not. Nothing in this life is secure, except for one thing. And it is Jesus. Oops. But what I put my security in will determine the things I will focus on. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have money. We need money. We need resources. We need things. We're told to be good stewards of these things. However, we can become so good stewards that we actually turn it into an idol. It's God's anyway. Doesn't matter whether it's money or any other things. There is nothing in Scripture that says that money is bad apart from when it becomes the idol, the root. You know the scriptures. But some people are blessed with an entrepreneurial gift, but if it's coming through, it's a spiritual thing, it's meant to be a spiritual conduit that actually goes out. Why does Andrew get to do what it is? He shared it last week. Because there's people that actually earn enough money to be able to give into his ministry that empower him to be able to do what he does. You talk to people that have got that kind of gift, they don't see their financial gift as being this thing to be hanging on to. It's a gift to be stewarded for the kingdom's purposes. Our homes, our superannuation, whatever that might be. For some people, it's keeping the family together. They'll do everything they can to fight for their family and those things. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to trust God with our family. I can tell you in the natural, I'm not super happy about Aaron going to Bendigo next year. I'm going to miss him. Lige tells me he's not, but I know he's lying. Because I know Aaron's his best mate. And the way they interact with each other. Yeah, keep fooling yourself, Lodge. But we have to trust that God knows what's best for our kids. Ultimately, they're his kids first. This morning I heard the question, he said, what if? And he wasn't asking it of me. But what if God told you to sell everything? To follow him. What if he said, I want you to sell your houses, I want you to sell all the stuff, and I want you to move to outback Queensland? Having done it, not to outback Queensland, but having packed up, moved from Victoria to New South Wales back here, I can tell you it's a difficult, difficult thing. Uprooting from family, friends, relationships. However, I made a decision a long time ago that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and serve him alone. Do I get it perfectly right? No. But what if he asks you those things? The way we see our God in the midst of these moments actually determines the way we act. Because if we believe that God's still up there with a big stick wanting to punish us, well, when he asks us to do those things, we're going to think he's actually punishing us when we head out there. But actually what he might be doing is actually placing us in the very place our giftings and the shape of who we are will be the greatest blessing. I don't want our church to grow from a whole heap of people leaving one church and lead to come here because it's the new fad or the new thing. Ultimately, I'd love to see every seat filled up with people who are brand new Christians. But the reality is there is gaps in the skill sets that we have, so therefore we've got to expect that God is going to place people here to fulfill those roles. This is a dangerous thing for a pastor to say. Because if we don't have people sitting on our seats, then we struggle to be able to open a door. And I'm not saying this is for anyone, by the way. But I want you to know that if God is saying, I want you to go somewhere else because that's actually where I've placed you, be obedient and follow him. Please don't hear that I want people to leave. I don't. I don't in the slightest. But I also do not ever want to stand in the way of God's best for your life. And if it's somewhere else, let us bless you and release you to be all that God's got you to be in that place. You're God's kids, not mine. And I know that can be misguided, and probably I hope Andre's not freaking out by me saying these things. But please hear my heart. I'm not saying that I want people to leave. I just want you to be where God has planted you. I want you to be where God is going to use the giftings and the things that he's placed within you for the glory of his kingdom. Because right now, if Sanctuary Church grows, we are blessed because we're part of the kingdom. If we grow, they're blessed. If Open Door grows, Monbulk's blessed. All of us, the kingdom expands. There's only one kingdom. It doesn't have denominational things in it. There's God's kingdom. We are kingdom people. We are part of his family. And the bride of Christ is far bigger and more diverse than we will ever know. In my experience, and I know this is what's going to happen with Aaron this year, that Aaron has to go on this journey, because if he doesn't, he won't. There's things that are going to happen this year that are going to shape him for the rest of his life. Oh, I don't want to ever be a part of seeing people's journeys stunted. So what's your security in? Your position, your place, dare I say it, the seat you sit in. For those of you who sit in the same seat every week, get up and move somewhere else. Sorry. I know. But we're creatures of habit, all of us. And when we get comfortable, we don't listen to what God's doing sometimes. He wants to get us out of our comfort zone because following his kingdom is not comfortable. And I'm going to get to that right now. What are our guns aimed at, as Andrew shared last week? Have we got our guns aiming at the right thing, at the right place? C.S. Lewis says, when the whole world is running towards a cliff, he who is running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. I'm just going to read through this passage from Matthew 24, 4 to 14. Apologies for the fact that everything is in capital letters. I know that usually means that it sounds like I'm yelling at you. It's just the way it actually was edited, and by the time I put it together, I was just too tired to actually go back and redo it. So I'm not yelling at you. I am loud. I've always been accused of that, Elaine. It's okay. Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place. Listen to the little emphasis of Jesus' words. But the end won't follow immediately. We've been hearing of these things for a long time. Remember, a day is of 1,000 years under God. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this was only the first birth pains, with more to come. This week again, there was another earthquake off the top of Australia, up across the Torres Strait Islands, 7.7 magnitude. At the same time, there was floods happening across the Kimberley. They're all signs. This is the part and the verse that preachers don't like to preach on, because we like to give niceties to people's ears. I don't like preaching on it. I don't like this next verse, because I like my comfort. I like to be able to go home at night, enjoy my wife and my children in peace. But Jesus says this. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, killed. You will be hated. It's a positive word for the church, isn't it? Because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me. and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. As with anything that comes out, we need to be testing it with the Spirit of God. I don't put these words up to scare us. But as I read them this week, I felt like God said to me, this is our reality check. It will happen. It is happening in some parts of the world. And I was reminded this morning of a testimony by the vicar of Iraq, Baghdad. I think it was Vicar of Baghdad. He's got a book called that. He's an Anglican priest that God sent to Iraq in the middle of a war zone. And he had ISIS guys that were wanting to take his head, and God told him to invite him into his home. And he shared the safest place for him to be was in Iraq, with the bombs flying around and the accusations at him, because that's where God placed him. I was slightly challenged by that. But that is the reality of the world. Does it make me comfortable? No. Do I like it? No. Is God's promises that he will always be with us, no matter what? Yes. Is he still a good God? Yes. Is our eternal home here or in heaven or in the eternal realm? New heaven, new earth. Our citizenship is there, not here. If our security is not in him, we're going to struggle. Verse 12, sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures in the end will be saved. You'd have to be blind Freddy to see that this isn't the reality going on in our world. Sin is rampant everywhere. And the church is not exempt. There is many teachings. The universal gospel that is coming into some parts of the body of Christ is kind of horrifying. That there is more ways to God. No, there isn't. It's way, truth, and life. It's Jesus Christ, and there is no other. Can't change that. That's what God's word says. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. His word is truth. It's alive and living and penetrates through everything. But his word is our foundation. We want a move of his spirit, but it has to be in conjunction with the word. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. I've had this thought a few times this week. A few people go, I've got to get into the Word more, I've got to get into the Word more. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you shouldn't read your Bible. But don't just get into the Word so you know more Scripture. Be people of the Word. Be people who the Word of God penetrates and transforms you from the very core of who you are, and then live that out. Because if we are not doers of the Word, we're fat, obese Christians. And God wants us to be fit for battle. He wants us to be ready to give an answer for Him at every situation. Oh, I wish I was that way. God's still working on my heart. There's times when I miss sharing the beauty and the wonder of who my God is. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. One of the greatest signs in Scripture of when the end will come is this verse. And we're this close to every single people group being hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know the exact number, but it's around the 150, 200 mark. And they've been reaching about 300 to 400 people groups every year. We are this close, brothers and sisters. There is a seriousness about this that I haven't felt before. Because the reality is, as C.S. Lewis says in that quote that I've already read, the world is running towards a cliff. And I don't give a rat's if I'm the odd one out and I get ridiculed because I'm walking the other way. I want to get as many people who are heading towards the cliff and walk with me. Because I want to see the kingdom of God full, not the kingdom of hell. I unashamedly stand here and say there is a heaven and there is a hell. Hell was meant for Satan and his demons. Glory was meant to be for you and I, his kids, created in the image of God. If our security is not in Christ, we are going to struggle in the world we live. If our security is anything else outside of Christ, does it mean that we don't live today? Yeah, we do. We have to. There's still work to be done. There's still bills to pay. There's still things to look after. There's still all of those things. But the reality is, part of doing all of those things is being good stewards of the things that God places in our responsibility. But what's our motivator of our heart? What motivates me to do what I do? Is it out of that revelation that my boy has got over these last couple of days, that he is a son of the Most High God, that he is loved with a love that is so beyond anything else, and we will never exhaust it, we will never fully understand it, and it's that love that we're meant to be secure in and offering to every person around us. Every one of us. On the last day, on the Thursday before Christmas, as I closed up my office, I felt like God said to me really clearly. He said, Jason, remember that I am wild. And I cannot be tamed. But I am good. Will you follow me? The image that comes to mind, if you've watched The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, where the girls climb onto Aslan's back. It's what I believe he is calling on to us, because the Lion of Judah is roaring and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Father of all of humanity, wants his kids to be with him. And he wants to transform us. So that we can love his kids well too. The words of my mum ring in my ears. the last conversation I ever had. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I can hear her cheering us on from glory, as many others would. Our refuge is in him. Psalm 46. I, God, this is in the Passion Translation. I, God, you're such... Sorry, that's meant to be one verse one. Let me go back. God. But it could be my God. Can you see it? David crying out, God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in times of trouble. More than enough. And always available when I need you. So we will not fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. We will not fear, even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea. For the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode your faith, our faith in you. Reflect. In the old King James, it would have had Selah. As you read those words, is that what your heart's cry is in the midst of things? That it doesn't matter what happens, he's more than enough. God has a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. His river flows right through the city of God, Most High, and into his holy dwelling places. God, in the midst of his city, secure and never shaken at daybreak. His help will be seen when the appearing of the dawn, when the nations are in uproar, with their tottering kingdoms, God simply raises his voice and the earth begins to disintegrate before him. The same voice that said, "Let us create," is the same voice that one day is going to go, "Today is the day, okay, Jesus, bring him home." Are we ready? Are we ready? There he comes, the commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies, and he's on our side. Whew, thank goodness. The God of Jacob fights for us. Everyone, look, come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God, for he brings both ruin and revival. He's the one who makes conflicts end, but without the earth breaking and burning every weapon of war. Surrender your anxiety. I can guarantee you when the things happen and things continue to heat up, there will be anxiety. You will feel anxiety. There will be fear. There will be opportunities to partner with it. But it's what we do with it that matters. Are we willing to surrender it to the one who knows all? Be still and realize that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You know, one of the greatest things you can do in the midst of conflict and pain is to be still. one of the pieces of advice that I used to have to give to children all the time. They'd come in, their fight and flight part of their brain would be absolutely firing off its... When you're in that place, no logic can happen. It's the way God's designed us. It was designed so that if we come into a conflict or a situation with a bear running at us or whatever it is, that we could react in that moment. But we were never meant to stay that. Yet our world is operating with the fight and flight part of their brain, actually making decisions. And we wonder why we're making big messes around us. So I used to say to kids, breathe. I'm not talking mindfulness, I'm not talking meditating and trans, that I'm saying, in through the nose, out through the mouth, take as long as you need, and let's get your brain back thinking. Be still. Be still. Because all of these things, as we look at what's going around us, can bring anxiety, can bring hopelessness, can stir all of those things up in our hearts. God's inviting us to be still. In Ephesians it says, dress yourself in the armor of God, and having done all else, stand. Why? Because in standing in Him, be still and know that He is God. He is good. He is loving. His loving kindness endures. All the things that Bev shared with us this morning. I am God above all the nations. I am exalted through the whole earth. I am here. He stands. The commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. Pause. Brothers, sisters, what's our security in? My hope is built on nothing else than Jesus Christ. I can't remember all the words. And His righteousness. The reason that we can be called a holy, righteous, pure bride of Christ is because the one who died, who looked through the lens, saw you and I, saw everything mistake we made, see everything that we've done, and He goes, I'm going to take that and I'm going to clothe them in My righteousness. In myself, I am filthy rags. In Christ, I am righteous. Pure. Because of the cross. And when our security is in Him, and Him alone, we will have strength. We'll have wisdom, we'll have revelation, we'll have understanding. And when we stand together with our security, being built together, the living stones, with Christ as our cornerstone, together we will see a glorious kingdom. And we will stand before our glorious bridegroom. But in the meantime, He's wanting to transform us from glory to glory. He wants us to be in Him, of His word. Because we have a world where people do not pick up a Bible, ever. So you may be the only living, walking testimony of Jesus they will ever encounter. And He's He's calling all of us to that place, from the youngest to the oldest. I give my life to this Jesus. Unapologetically follow him for the rest of my days. And so in 2023, I'll make a fresh commitment to surrender to his kingdom working in my heart. And I invite you to do the same. We're not in easy days to be a Christian. For those of you young people who go think it's rebellious to go off and chase all the other things, the greatest rebellious thing you could ever do is become a Christian. But I can guarantee you that that is the greatest thing you can ever do. Because you will find a purpose that goes beyond anything that you've ever experienced. Father God, may our security be found in you. Pam, can I just grab you to just grab some keys for a moment, please? Thanks. He is calling us to let go of the old things and the old ways of doing things and to embrace the new wine of his Spirit. How do you know? You've been through a process of crushing and pressing for more seasons than you can count. I put my hand up. I certainly felt that. You live next to the spring, the well, the source of life. You don't like middlemen in your relationship with Christ. You live with your ear to the ground, with a longing to hear what is hot off the print room of heaven first. Your very presence and the revelations you speak seem to confront old methods and systems and get religious people unsettled. I unapologetically will do everything I can to be as free of religion as I possibly can. And if I make religious people unsettled, okay. Because I want him. Might sound arrogant, but I want him. You speak of the new thing and never the old. You break new ground without any effort. You have strong distaste for apathy and man-made systems. You see the old wine infrastructure a mile away. You will bring a refreshing and life to those who will accept you and be poured into. You have rejuvenation anointing that resurrects tired and worn out people, and you will put wind back into their sails. Father, may we be new wine people. May we be a church that is only drinking of the new wine that you are pouring out, and may we be privileged to be a part of the greatest outpouring of your Spirit on the face of the earth. Because we find our security in one thing and one thing alone, and that is you. Father, may we be known as the wild ones, the ones that are willing to partner with the Lion of Judah, who is roaring for his people, setting us free so we can live from a different paradigm of radical love in a hurting world that doesn't know what pure love looks like. Father, if there is anything in my heart and in our heart that is not has got security in anything else other than you. Holy Spirit, will you do a work in our hearts so this is not the case? And may our security and our purpose be only found in one. May my motivation for doing life be for an audience of one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, I know that I cannot do it alone, and I cannot do it in my own strength. So I freshly surrender this morning. And He invites you, if you're willing to get on this journey, the wild adventure of following your King, surrender afresh to Him this morning. Give Him everything. He's worthy of it. And you're on for the greatest adventure you will ever, ever experience. It will be a life of abundance in His presence. Holy Spirit, have your way in my heart and in the hearts of your church here in Mombok, I pray. In Jesus' name. Can I invite the worship team to come back, and can we sing that? I'm laying down my life, I'm giving up control, I surrender all. Can we sing that together this morning?
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombok Christian Fellowship.